For the first time since November, you can grab a meal indoors at a restaurant without breaking any rules.
That a careful and limited reopening of bars and restaurants will not lead to a resurgence.
That's Governor J.B. Pritzker. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Tuesday, January 19th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with the long-awaited reopening of some indoor dining in Bloomington Normal. The region that includes McLean County improved up to Tier 1 mitigations on Sunday after only a couple of days in Tier 2. That means indoor dining is allowed for the first time since November. Capacity is limited to the lesser of 25 people or 25% of room capacity. Governor J.B. Pritzker has faced tremendous pressure from the struggling restaurant and hospitality industry, but he says the Illinois Department of Public Health chief is sure this move is safe.
The trajectory of the data in each region has given Dr. Zike and IDPH some confidence that a careful and limited reopening of bars and restaurants will not lead to a resurgence.
A small number of restaurants in Bloomington Normal defied the ban on indoor service. Those with liquor licenses faced sanctions from local liquor commissioners. One of them was Bloomington Mayor Terry Renner. During an interview last week on Sound Ideas, Renner said he supported reopening indoor dining at 25% capacity. He thinks it's safe.
The available evidence we have shows that that's quite effective as well in reducing the spread, especially the difference between obviously 100% and 50%, and as well 50% to 25%.
Another big COVID development this week is the start of vaccinations for the Phase 1B group in McLean County. That includes people 65 and older and essential frontline workers like grocery store employees. But the County Health Department says all appointments for its vaccination clinics are filled up for the next 2 weeks. We're also expecting new COVID infection numbers to be released later this morning. It'll be our first update since Friday. Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. ISU's Graduate Workers Union complains of what it calls university stalling on a new contract, and ISU spokespersons say they remain optimistic the parties will be able to reach an agreement that balances the interests of both sides. A March 22nd jury trial is scheduled for a Bloomington man accused of hate crimes for allegedly riding his motorcycle into a group of protesters during a May protest rally in Bloomington. And Bloomington Parks and Rec will host back-to-back virtual public forums Thursday night to get feedback on plans for O'Neill Park's future. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Many Americans couldn't wait for 2020 to end, yet 2021 has started much the same way. A raging pandemic, racial injustice, and an election which revealed a deeply divided country still have many on edge. Student reporter Tiffany Jackson explores how some who have fought for equality hope to learn from the past.
If 2020 was supposed to be a year for vision, Bloomington resident and motivational speaker Ruben West didn't like much of what he saw.
See, clear vision is clear vision no matter what it shows you. It's clear vision because you can actually see what's there. What happened to George Floyd, that was clear vision. It happened out in the open. And it's only through those things happening out in the open can we ever hope to make the changes that we really need to make.
Activist Robert Garcia of Bloomington has fought for change. Recalling the officer shooting death of Breonna Taylor, Garcia says one moment of protest stuck with him the most.
I remember being there and we're marching in the streets of Louisville, and I'm at the front, just right in front of the crowd because I'm live streaming, and right behind me is Breonna Taylor's family and they're marching, and then all of a sudden we get boxed in by Louisville Metro PD.
Police were in riot gear. Garcia says he was afraid. He says the group he was with did not take part in violence, but the memories from that night are still pretty dark.
We were there peacefully protesting, but still watching them like grab people and pull them behind a line of police officers and then circle that police officer so that he could beat that person and block us from recording or intervening. It was like very, very well planned, very well coordinated on their part. And it was just really just disgusting to see that.
Coordinator of Professional Development at Illinois State University, Angel Howard, says 2020 exposed a lot about race relations and it led to some positive change.
Everyone wanted to start a group. Everyone wanted to call their Black friends and get information. So I did see that there
was something happening. And even in our institutions, we saw that positions were being hired to cover some of this stuff. Letters were being written to show support for Black lives. And so I did see this piece of coming together.
But Howard says she questions the authenticity of some of these efforts because often they don't last long.
Unfortunately, some of this coming together was very performative. I think a lot of it was just really checking a box and trying to show that I support you. But when it really come down to it, do you really support me though?
On the day before the election, President Trump signed an executive order that established a 1776 commission. Its intent was to create more patriotic education. Howard sees it as a way to whitewash the country's past history with slavery. Howard says everyone must take initiative to educate themselves.
It takes more than just a book, and it takes more than just a study group to learn about this stuff. And that's what I teach people all the time. You need to start reading more on your own, Googling, and, you know, connecting to people that you're with, because you can't be 50-something years old and just realizing this. Heck, even 20-something anymore and not know that this stuff is legit real.
While racial injustice affected minorities in 2020, COVID-19 affected everyone. As an introvert, activist Robert Garcia says in the beginning he saw the pandemic as a time to de-stress, but soon the realities of isolation hit home.
It was like self-care for the first 2 weeks because we thought that it was going to be short term. Then it didn't end. And so I found myself missing just being able to go and have dinner with friends or go to a movie or just something simple. And all of a sudden, just being stuck in your apartment for that long, it took its toll.
For Angel Howard at ISU, spending time with her family as a newlywed was the most enjoyable. But having to put a hyper focus on her daughter's needs along with her own emotions has been difficult.
Being home with this teenager who don't want to be at home is very hard. And so I've watched my kid kind of go through these emotional changes that, you know, you don't really necessarily have to see so abruptly. And I saw her emotions and happiness just really changing.
As a global speaker, Reuben West was used to traveling for a living, but when the pandemic hit, he had to adapt to staying home. It struck him that many others couldn't do the same.
So what I did is I made a list of people that I knew lived alone, didn't matter what city or state they lived in, and I would call them on a regular basis. How are you doing? How are you feeling? What are you up to? And they would be like, wow, it's so amazing that you call me. And I think that's the kind of care that we need.
Wes says it's easy to be discouraged, depressed, or scared with so much going on. He says we all need imagination to pull us out of that fear. As Wes says, what you think about is what you bring about. I'm Tiffany Jackson.
Before we let you go, the Normal Town Council meets tonight at 7. On the agenda is an update from Connect Transit. Also, the Bloomington City Council hosts a non-voting Committee of the Whole meeting tonight at 6. On the agenda there is an update on the city's solid waste program. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at cira.com.